Praise the Lord. Are you all happy to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. I'm so delighted. Thank you so much, Israel. And please don't go far away because I feel like there's the spirit of the Lord just moving in our midst this morning. Amen. We'd like to have some time to worship the Lord even after we hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. How has been your week? Did you all have a good Thanksgiving holiday? Amen. Praise the Lord. I want us to go into the word of the Lord, and I believe that the Lord has something very special for each one of us. And I believe that we're going to be blessed even as we seize the opportunity that the Lord has granted each one of us, even to come into this house that is called by his name to worship and to praise him. Amen. I don't take for granted personally when I come into the house of the Lord, because I know something good is going to happen. And especially in a corporate anointing where men and women of God are gathered in the praise of his name, something can happen anytime. Amen. In the midst of worshiping God, that's why it's very important to come early into the house of the Lord. Prepare yourself. Even when you wake up in the morning, start speaking some things concerning this service. Amen. That the Lord, that as the people of God come, they will come and experience a supernatural touch of the Lord. It will be useless for us to come here on a Sunday morning and we go empty. Amen? It would beat the purpose. But just think about this, that when we come into the house of the Lord, we come and encounter and embrace the presence of the Lord, and he begins to minister into our hearts, and we feel that there's a word, a now word that the Lord has prepared for our hearts. And by the time we hit those doors, we will go rejoicing and having a celebratory attitude in our hearts, knowing that the Lord for sure spoke to us. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'd like you to turn to your neighbor, tell them, hey, I didn't see you this week, but you're looking, surely looking good. Amen. Can we do that? You're surely looking good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I have a few things that we would like to share today, so we're going to go pretty quick, and I also want to seize some moment for us to worship the Lord. Amen. Turn your Bibles into the book of Exodus, chapter number 14, verse number 13. Exodus 14, verse number 13. If you're there, you can say amen. Praise the Lord. Exodus chapter number 14. And verse number 13. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see them no more." Amen. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see them again. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you, we want to bless you. Thank you for the text before us. Thank you, Lord, even for the unction of the Holy Spirit. As we share your word and as we reason together, I pray that you shall come and communicate this message as you laid in my spirit today, that the people of God may be blessed and that they may be prepared, Lord, even as they journey, Lord, even towards the place that you're preparing for us, and that is the kingdom of heaven. I just want to thank you for every single one of them, Lord, because there's a seal of ownership upon their hearts. That, Father God, even from the kingdom of God, even from the heavens, Lord, the Bible tells us that you're overseeing the affairs of your sons and daughters. And that, Father God, when you look at that mark of ownership, you're giving them strength and energizing them, even giving them the strength to go the extra mile. Father, I give you praise and I give you honor. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. There's nothing in the world today the enemy is using as the spirit of fear. As a matter of fact, I don't ever think there's anything the enemy is using in the midst of the church today as the weapon of fear. Fear is the supreme weapon that has been reserved in hell to be unleashed into every believer in these last days. You have come a long way of, you know, a far journey in the Lord, and there's things that you have qualified yourselves from. Days are gone when you used to even maybe desire people's property. You know, you have graduated from even thinking that you can be a thief. There are certain things that you cannot, you no longer dwell upon, because you have graduated even as you progressed in the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the enemy has looked upon you, and he has determined, and he has researched all your ways and all your moves, and he has realized that in certain areas of your life, he will never ever conquer you. But there's one weapon that is reserved in his arsenal, and that is the weapon of fear. Amen? There's the weapon of fear that is just reserved, just in case that you have graduated in all these arenas and all these areas in your Christian walk. There's one weapon that he has reserved so that when he throws in at you, it can conquer you, unless you know your positioning and your stand in God. Praise be to God. This morning I want us to share about fear. The fear of unknown. Praise be to God. And I would like for us to understand by the end of this service, what is fear, and how does the enemy use it, and how can we counteract the fear that the enemy has reserved as a weapon in his arsenal to unleash to the Christian and to unaware Christian. I would like us to be aware of this weapon, because it can be fatal, and if we are not in a firm grounding, it can knock us off. Praise be to God. The enemy has not only reserved that weapon against the church, but he is unleashing it against world governments. He is unleashing it against nations. Amen. Just recently, we had this epidemic of Ebola. And you know how fear was created, especially when we had the first case here in Dallas. Everybody's schools, while parents were calling in schools saying that their children, whether their children will be released, as far as even parts where Dallas was not even concerned. Fear is the weapon that the enemy uses as the last resort. But I want to assure you, as a child of God, that you can conquer fear. Somebody say amen. You can counteract fear. As long as you understand the devices of the enemy, fear is nothing that you cannot conquer. Fear is a weapon that we can counteract. Fear is a weapon that we can be on defensive and on offensive and conquer. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. When there was the first case in Dallas, and everybody was so worried and everybody was so scared, even in buses. In fact, I started seeing policemen even driving with their gloves on just because of an epidemic called Ebola. And there was only one case. And you knew how Ebola would be contacted unless you went and treated and interacted and exchanged bodily fluids with a person who was infected with Ebola. You wouldn't catch it. It was not a viral disease. It was not an airborne viral disease. But yet, there was fear in Dallas. There was fear in the United States of America. As a matter of fact, I checked out on an article this morning about a nation in West Africa called Gambia. Now listen to what has happened to Gambia, okay? Gambia hasn't had a single known Ebola case, but fears of the virus and canceled flights have led British bird watchers, these are tourists who normally go to Gambia, to nix planned tours. Hotel bookings to that West African destination are down 65% across the board. This blow to the tiny nation's economy is among many examples worldwide where fear, or what economists call aversion behavior, this is what the world calls fear, aversion behavior, is spreading economic pain beyond the direct cost of treating, beyond the direct cost of treating the virus. For economists, the challenge is to measure and focus the impact of fear has on consumer confidence and behavior. Amen. Economic impacts range from voluntary measures taken by individuals, refusing to eat in restaurants or taking flights, to government's policies like schools, school closures, or travel bans that disrupt productivity. Aversion behavior accounted to more than 80% of lost economic activity during the 2003 SARS. You remember the SARS epidemic? Epidemic in southern China, Hong Kong, and other parts of the world, says World Resources Institute senior fellow Milan Branham, who studied the disease impact during this time as the World Bank economist. SARS-related losses in the tourism, food, and travel industries totaled $8.5 billion in mainland China and $1.3 billion in Hong Kong, according to a study from the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, but also $4.3 billion in Canada. Think about this, which is far from the outbreak center, but has a large diaspora of Hong Kong Chinese, even in Canada. Fear. The enemy knows that he can bring a nation to its knees just because of fear. Amen? Fear can bring even a Christian family to its knees just because of fear. You may not be a thief. You may not be involved in promiscuity. You may be serving God, like religiously. You may be coming to church. You might be even tithing. You might be even serving the Lord. But once fear strikes, oh my goodness. I know people who spend sleepless nights wandering and tossing over their beds because they don't know whether they are going to go to their work tomorrow. I know there are families who are driving across the streets of Dallas, Texas, wondering if their children are going to end up in college or there's going to be a gunman who is going to storm in that school and kill their children. When we send our children to school, we pray and lay our hands, yet we are grasped by fear because we don't know how the day is going to end up for those children. Fear is a dangerous weapon. But I'm here to tell you that you have been given power and authority to counteract over all schemes of darkness, and nothing shall by any means hurt a Christian. Glory be to Jesus. Amen. The enemy knows that when he is unable to penetrate into your life, he can use the weapon of fear. And many times we are fearful. We are fearful. And one time it happened to me when we were coming down to church. And we were just coming for prayer with my wife. And we were just driving. And out of the blues, a driver came and crossed a red light and came and rammed into my car. Pwah! On my side. And I thought, this was it. We had left our children at home. And we are going to prayer. And here we are now. We are just about to die. You know the way sometimes when you have problems, you are emailed. The email rate comes, I think, 10 or 20 or 1,000. Information, per second. The devil tells you now your children are going to be destitute. Your children are going to be orphaned now. In fact, even your leg has been injured. Your wife actually is unconscious. Because that it just came out of the blues. And let me tell you, even though I pray, even though I call upon the name of the Lord, every time I'm crossing an intersection, I'm wondering, I pray and I'm praying when I'm crossing an intersection. I wish there's no crazy driver who is going to come and ram on my car. And I'm looking, and before I go, and I am wondering, somebody's coming, is going to come and crush me. But you know that is the weapon of the devil. I need you to know that you have power in the words of your mouth, that you can make a decree and declaration. Oh my goodness, declare a thing and it shall be established, so says the word of God. You shall declare a thing and it shall be established in the name of Jesus. The words of your mouth are powerful. The words of your mouth are powerful, church. I say it again, the words of your mouth are powerful. You shall declare a thing and it shall be established. You have the right and authority, as we were taught last week by that man of God, telling us that you have to clothe the kingly anointing and command the devils of hell not to come even near your homestead, not to come near your children, not to come near your spouse, not to come near your career, not to come near anything that is about you, because you're a child of God. Glory be to Jesus. The enemy has decided that in these last days, if he can put to terror as many believers as possible, then the work of God is going to stagnate. The fear of not knowing how you're going to pay your bills. The fear of not knowing whether your children are going to come back to you. The fear of not knowing whether you're going to succeed in whatever you're doing. The fear of not knowing whether you're going to pass this exam because there's some teacher, some professor who doesn't like you. The fear of unknown. You are sleeping and you cannot get enough sleep in bed, tossing left and right because of fear. But I'm here to tell you, if you know your grounding, if you know your positioning, you can sleep like a baby knowing that God is in control, knowing that God is in charge of your life. God has, let me tell you, church, the Bible tells me that the eyes of the Lord range throughout the face of the earth. And I believe they're looking at their believers, watching over them. God knows when you're driving down I-75. God knows that there's a truck that is just about to kill you. But the angels of God, unbeknown to you, are keeping watch over you, keeping God over you, so that you will be successful and you live long in the name of Jesus. When the devil tells you that you just have 1 year to live, tell him, you know what, you're mistaken. There's so much work that I need to do for the work of the Lord. I have to see that my children grow. I will see my grandchildren. I'll see my great-great-grandchildren. So no matter, I don't care whether you're selling an 18-wheeler. I don't care whether you're selling cancer. I don't care what you're selling to me. I know I'm going to conquer it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Fear. Fear, the devil terrorizing nations, bringing economies to a standstill just because of fear. And in the Bible, we read so many things that talk about fear. Praise be to God. In Genesis, as we read that scripture, in Moses, God sent Moses to deliver the children of Israel out of captivity. And the Lord came and performed so many miracles before the eyes of the Israelites. And God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. He even brought about 9 plagues into Egypt. And yet he couldn't even release the children of Israel. But a time came when they were released and they were experiencing God towards their promised land. And God was kind of like creating barriers towards their journey. I am here to tell you that do not worry of the barriers along the way, because those barriers are supposed to strengthen your faith. Are you listening to me? Whenever you encounter a problem, thank God for that problem. Thank God for every opportunity that you encounter a trial. In the book of James, it tells us that thank God for every trial and every temptation that comes your way, because your faith grows and grows maturely. Praise be to God. And as they went along the way, there were impediments, and they are coming into this Red Sea, and they are looking on their left, they are looking on their right, they are looking behind them, and all they can see on their left is a vastness of water. When they looked on their right, is vastness of water. When they looked behind them, they could see there were their pursuers. Are you like that sometimes? When you look onto your left, you don't have any options. When you look on your right, there are no options. When you look behind you, you see the devil chasing after you, wanting to kill your family, wanting to destroy you, wanting to kill your business, wanting to kill your career, wanting to destroy your family, wanting to break up your marriage, and he is coming fast. And you wonder what you're going to do. And suddenly, God comes and creates a miracle. And things begin to work, and you wonder what happened, because this is exactly what happened to the Red Sea. The Lord spoke to Moses, and he raised up his staff, and you know the Red Sea parted, and they walked on dry ground. That's what the Lord said. And into the amazement of many Israeli children, as they walked on dry ground, and as they got onto the other end, their pursuers were still coming. But I thank God for he is able and he is protective, because he put a shield between the children of Israel and them. And as they were coming, oh yes, you have seen the movie sometimes, the wheels of their chariots began to come off, and everything about their pursuers began to go astray, because God was in control. And as they get to the other side, Moses tells them, those Egyptians that you're seeing who are pursuing you, this is the last time that your eyes are setting your eyes on them, because you will never see them no more. you will never see them no more. I know there are some demonic activities. There are some demonic activities behind the scenes that you cannot see by your physical eyes, that are always organizing to send out assaults towards your family. No wonder you've been wondering. You wake up in the morning and you cannot see eye to eye with your husband. You're waking up every morning and your children don't even want to talk to you. Let me tell you, let me give you some information. There's something behind the spiritual realms that is working towards the downfall of your family. But cheer up, child of God, because God is in control. He is taking care of you. And I hear the Spirit of God. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I hear the Lord telling me that these Egyptians who are your pursuers, that you are setting eyes on today, you will see them no more. And as soon as they got to the other side, Moses lifted up, oh Shanda, he lifted up his staff and the sea came together. And what the Lord said, what Moses spoke, what God spoke through Moses, and it came to fulfillment that these Egyptians you see, your pursuers, you will never see them again. Do you know people are never enemies? It is demons and the devil and Satan himself that causes people to be enemies to each other. People love each other. You know, by the way, you've been created in the image and likeness of God. There has no way to be a way whereby I need to have a wedge between me and Pastor Francis. We are created in the image of God. But the devil knows that if we are united, we can build a castle to God. We can do a humongous work for the Lord. And so the enemy would want to come between us so that you see me as less than you and I'm seeing you as less than you. And so a wedge is created between us. We are all friends. We have been created in the image and likeness of God. It is the devil who comes in between us. And we have to recognize and put him down under our feet in the name of Jesus. And throughout generations, fear would grip up the people. And I came up with a few verses in Genesis chapter number 15, verses 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. This is the father, our father Abraham. And he tells him, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. How do you like God speaking to you like that? Do not be afraid, Esther. I am your shield, your great reward. My God. When God says that he is your shield, it doesn't matter what assaults the enemy throws at you. God is your shield. I would like to have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as my shield. That when the enemy plans to destroy me, I know that the enemy cannot get to me because God is in front of me. God is on my side. God is on this other side. God is on my behind and he is my shield. Hallelujah. Do not be afraid because God is your shield. Genesis 46 verse number 3. I am God, the God of your father. He said, do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation. Exodus 14:30. The day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. The Lord, Exodus 15 verse number 2. Hear what the Lord says. The Lord is my strength and my defense. I love this. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Moses said to the people in Exodus 20:20. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. 1 Samuel 12:16. I'm almost done here. Now then, stand still. Now then, stand still and see this great thing the Lord is about to do before your eyes. Oh my God. This is your word today, church. 1 Samuel 12:16. Now then, after all that you have been through, after all calamities and things, negative things that are befalling you, this is the voice of the Lord concerning your life. Now then, stand still and see this great thing the Lord is about to do. That is futuristic. Stand still. Somebody say stand still. And see this great thing. Come on, say like you mean it. And see this great thing the Lord is about to do before your eyes. Let me tell you, when God visits you, you don't have to advertise yourself like a cowboy. When the Lord comes, visits you, My goodness. You don't have to be like that lady of Progressive. You know who advertises Progressive? You know I don't like her, but you know what? You don't have to advertise yourself. Because when God visits you, everybody will know that God has visited that girl. The Lord has visited that man. The Lord has visited that family. Because the joy of the Lord will be over you. You don't even have to tell people that you're blessed. Because all around you, they can see it. They can see the blessings. They can see the peace. They can see the joy. Oh, goodness gracious. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord is just about to do a new thing in your life. 2 Kings 6:16. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are on us are more than those who are with them. Now, I don't even want to speak about this. Do you know sometimes we struggle sometimes in our things, that the things that we go through, and you think that you're alone? Let me tell you. I pray, is it Elisha who prayed for Gehazi? To pray and told him, Lord, please. Elisha could see the humongous army that was surrounding them. But because if you walk on the flesh, if you are looking on your eyes, you may not see. And Elisha prayed to the Lord and told God, God, this man has fear that is so almost impacting me. I don't want you to, he is trembling and shivering around me. But what I see, he cannot see. I feel that you're on, that we are many of us. And I have this confidence that those that are on our, against me are not more than those that I can see with my spiritual eyes. But this Gehazi was shaking. Oh my God, what am I going to do? I've been sent to come and protect my servant. But Elisha is, let's see what's going to happen now. Because Elisha would see with his spiritual eyes the armies of the Lord that were on their side, and they were already at arm to come and arrest him. And Elisha could not handle the shaking of this Gehazi. Lord, as he said, Lord, open up his eyes that he may see what I'm seeing. Oh, goodness gracious. Let me tell you, you might be the spouse that is seeing the army, the great army that is on your side. And your spouse may not be seeing. Oh, and she's all shaking. How are we going to pay our bills? Our children are going to be destroyed. How are we going to do for this person? How are we going to pay our mortgage? All you need to tell them, God, open their eyes so that they may see what I'm seeing. Because the armies of the Lord are always encampering round about us. Let me tell you, if God can open up our eyes, we would be more than Barack Obama. Let me tell you, the people would be moving out of the streets because of the entourage that follows us. As you go to that SMU job, you know, people, there are angels always guarding your office. Can you imagine that? Guarding your office so that the enemy would not penetrate you. When you're in that job, mama, you know when there are angels are around that building, encompassing around that building with arms at hand, because you're a child of God and they are protecting you, even though you may not see with your own eyes. But let me tell you, immediately you mention something, those ministering angels go up to heaven and they bring the thing that you need. We are surrounded. We are covered. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my God, I feel it. 2 Chronicles, you all know this. 2 Chronicles 20:15. This is King Jehoshaphat. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who lived in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but it is God's. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Have you ever been in a place whereby everybody, it could be in a place of your work, and everybody speaks against you? You know, they don't see anything good that you do. You are working hard and you're putting all the energies and all the effort. You come to work early and you're doing your assignments. You're meeting your goals, but everybody's against you. And it could be maybe they don't like you because of how you look. And it could be maybe they don't like you because of your gender. And it could be maybe they don't like you because of the way you speak, your vernacular, you know, I mean, your English that has a deep accent, you know. You don't differentiate between L and R. And every time they're saying, what did you say? Don't you hate when people tell you like that? You know, you already know what you spoke. But they say, what did you say? I want a radio. Did you hear the radio? And then, what is that? Radio. lady. Huh? But you know what you want to say. People just don't like you because of the way you walk. Do you know there are people who just hate you because of the way you walk? Or maybe the way you dress. You know, you dress so nicely. And you don't want, you know, you don't want to walk in a way to shame the Lord. But you dress modestly. And they don't just like you because of that. You know? People don't just like you because you work so hard and you're on time. You're always the one the boss wants to give you assignments. Just because you're trustworthy. They don't like you. And they would like you kicked off out of that office. Let me tell you at that time, do not be afraid or discouraged because of this army. The battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. It is the Lord's. And 2 Chronicles, I finish with this. 2 Chronicles 20, 17. The Bible says, you'll not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. How comforting. How precious it is to know that the Lord is on our side. Amen. Amen. Now, listen to me. This is very, very important. When we talk about fear, we cannot talk about fear. Because fear is the weapon of that the enemy uses to come and knock us down. But what is the divine weapon that is sent out? You see, like the Iron Dome. Do you know how the Iron Dome works? The United States military helped the nation of Israel to build what they call, it is actually a multi-million dollar project in Israel. It is called the Iron Dome. And this is what happened. When the rebels or the terrorists in Gaza threw out their missiles, I don't know what they call them, then the Iron Dome releases another missile, and it explodes that missile in the air, and it neutralizes its effect. I want you to know that God has an Iron Dome for you. He has an Iron Dome, and we cannot talk about fear and fail to talk about the Iron Dome that God has placed into the heart of each and every one of us. Can you turn to your neighbor, tell them, I have an Iron Dome defense system. You have an Iron Dome defense system. An Iron Dome defense system. And this is it. This is it. I used to wonder, what is the opposite of fear? The opposite of fear is not boldness. You know, like when your child comes and you're telling them, you go outside, and there are kids maybe who normally try to bully them. And they say, no, I don't want to go. You don't tell, you know, your child, you know, the natural reaction is to tell your boy, you need to be bold. You need to be macho, right? Go out, they will not do no harm to you. And because of that encouragement, your kid might go. But the spiritual fear that I'm talking about, you cannot use your spirit, your human boldness. You're going to be knocked down like the sons of Sceva. Do you know what happened to the sons of Sceva? They went to say, in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches, you cannot come to the devil with your own macho strength. But you need, the opposite of fear is faith. Somebody say faith. The opposite of fear is faith. And if there's nothing else you get out of this service, I want you to know that faith is the opposite of fear. That when you engage the Iron Dome defense system called faith, there's no missile from the kingdom of devil called fear that can defeat you. Because the moment it is unleashed from the kingdom of the devil, the Lord has given each and every one of us a measure of faith. Say, I have faith. As long as you're born again, you have faith. Amen? And the Bible says that if you have as little as a mustard seed of faith, size of a faith, you can speak to this mountain. You can tell this mulberry tree to be uprooted from the place where it is, and you can send it into the sea, right? Amen? So faith is very, very essential in counteracting the spirit that comes from the devil. Faith is what we need. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, verse number 1, following, the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In another place in the Bible says that God, you cannot please God without faith you cannot do what? Come on, talk to me, church. I'm going somewhere. Without faith you cannot please. In other words, what that verse says, God responds only to faith. So there's no way. Let me tell you this, and I know I'm going to step on our toes a little bit. God is so merciful. He's so compassionate. And he is so loving. Whenever you have a problem, if all that you can do is, and you can cry the whole night, God will be merciful. But he wants to identify with something else. And yes, what he's looking is faith in God. After you have said, and you come and say, I believe in the name of Jesus that this trouble is nothing else. I rise up in the name of the Lord and I come against you, devil, in the name of Jesus. You cannot attack my child in the name of Jesus. Then God say, hey, what's going on here now? Had somebody crying, but now I am really connected to this thing that this my son, my daughter is saying. Hey, whoa, angels, Gabriel, come on, can you be at arms right now? I hear Sister Alice, she stopped crying now, but now she has engaged in something. That's something that I can engage myself in. Come on, rush out to our help. And all of a sudden, just because you rose up and you stood in your position now and you realize that you're a child of God and you have faith, you engage your Iron Dome defense system. But you know, why? That is not Iron Dome. It is good. It will release you out. But after you are done with why, engage now with your defense, Iron Dome defense system. Yes, you devil, you cannot attack my child. You cannot attack my wife. You cannot attack my church. You cannot attack Mrs. So-and-so. You cannot attack the James Move. James Move is going to live because he is a child of God. He is going to see his great-grandchildren in the name of Jesus. We were somewhere yesterday, let me tell you, and a lot of people who are sensitive. When we there, you know, James gave us testimony that he was driving his car and suddenly he started losing his breath. And this sister, my sister who was leading the meeting, she said, no, we have to pray right now. She engaged into her Iron Dome system. She said, James, you're going to leave and you're going to see your grandchildren. I was saying, hallelujah, let us pray right now, let us engage. But how about if we said, oh my God, James is here. He could not breathe, Lord Jesus. That cannot counteract the effect of the devil. That is not how we engage. It is good to cry and toss, but at the end of the day, come to your senses and engage. Are you listening to me? Engage, because that's how God is going to respond to us. Amen? Now, listen, very, very important. I told you that in the book of James, the Bible says, we have to, whenever trials and temptations come, you grow in your faith. How does faith come? Let me maybe go backtrack a little bit. How does the Bible tells us faith comes to us? My goodness, you're wonderful. Yes, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen? That's how you build. That's how faith comes to us. That's what the Bible says. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. The moment that we spend time in the word of the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit, give him freedom to break this word into us, you will discover that you are more than an atomic bomb standing and moving in the streets of Dallas, Texas. That anytime you can engage, you can destroy a whole city by the words of your mouth. That's why it's very important. You do not, let me tell you, when you're angry, please use your words scantily, because you can use your word and bring down a city. Did you know that? These people don't even pick up trash. What are they for? Who is the mayor of here? Please don't talk like that. Because that mayor might actually go and hit an accident and you are here. And you even fail to realize what you spoke. Your words are powerful. They have creative power. You can build up an empire. You can destroy an empire. When you know this word and the word is in you, that's how faith comes. And God looks at that faith and he says, as long as you can exercise it, I will do it for you. I will respond to that word of faith. Praise be to God. And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, how does the faith grow? How do you develop spiritual muscles of faith? Have you ever seen those people? By the way, I was telling people that I've been going to the gym. I don't even know how I remember that. I've been going to the gym. Some of you who have ever run, you know that running is not easy. You know, for you to have that Cinderella shape that you want to have, my goodness, you'll have to walk kilometers and kilometers and run. Let me tell you, I've been walking on that treadmill, and you know, it has a calorie counter. It has a calorie counter. By the time you even knock 100 calories, oh my goodness, your muscles are sore, you are sweating. You know, you are panting, you know, and you are sweating. And you know, I looked at the can of Coke. At the can of Coke has 100 calories. I don't want to take it. Because I've realized the energy that it takes even to burn that 100 calories. I mean, you know, by the way, you take that one, that Coke, it has 100 calories. You know, 100. Even a little, by the way, you need to be reading your labels. Don't just gobble everything into your stomach. God, I don't think it's the plan of God for you to gobble everything. Until you see a cake, oh, you see kisoda, oh, you see a chicken with a skin, oh, you're going to be sick. It's 1,000 calories. Oh, that's skin of a chicken, you know. And it is good, you are going to engage faith, but also take care of yourself. If God has given you the power to engage faith, but some things in the way, you know, you also reason yourself. You don't gobble everything. So, let me go to my point. I've been going there and I've seen some guys who are regulars. And there's a corner where they have like big machines, you know, like big weights. And I see these guys, man, they have like, my goodness. It's like, I don't even know how that chest, you think it has been implanted. The chest is like this. Yeah? And actually when they're walking, you know, they have those inner wares that they have, you know, the mangeres, you know, the I don't know what you call it. Those, you know? And then when they're walking... Huh? This, yeah, this. And they're walking like this, man. And they want you to see their things. But what I've realized, I talked to one guy, they told me, man, I've been here a long time. You know, for me to be the way I am, because I was really desiring to be like one of those guys. And I said, I asked, what does it take for me to have those muscles? Because, you know, when they're me, I'm doing like 50 pounds, and then they're going like like almost 280, they're going, ooh. And all I'm hearing is, ooh, 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 ooh. And he does like about 15, and then he comes up. And I said, wow. And those guys are there every day. In order for them to develop those muscles, I've realized even for this to go, I am not going to go there 15 days and think this one is going to go. By the way, this is the most difficult thing to go. You can send everything away, but this one, it is like it sticks there like with glue. So you have to be at it. But you know what? I have learned from those guys. I said, I'm not going to quit. By the way, I've been on and off. But this time I said, no. Because you know, sometimes it is good to be real, right? Sometimes you go and I'm like, I don't see. I'm still looking at my mirror. And I'm seeing like I'm still the same. And another guy told me, try to change your exercise. But you know what? Even me now, I'm there. For 1 hour and I go. And I'm going to be persistent. I know eventually, just like those guys, I may not really have those muscles when, so that when you come here, you are scared by Pastor Tony. But I know somehow some things are going to work with it over time. You see, the problem, sometimes you want to get things like immediately. You want to pray and get an answer right there. There are things, the Lord, let me tell you, there are things the Lord will do like that. But there are some things that you'll have to grow your spiritual muscle of faith. Let me tell you, when you have a kid, like when you have the first child, this is what happens. When you have the first child, you know, when they have fever, oh my goodness, you can even call 911. oh my goodness, I don't know what I'm going to do to this child. And especially if your wife is that, the panicky ones. Oh, can you bring the sponge? We need to sponge this baby. He's almost dying. Can you hurry up, Mr. Husband? Go. Let me tell you, when you have the second one, the third one, and then the sixth one, even fever, it will heal by itself. Why? Because you know you have gone through it, right? It doesn't bother. You know, even you can sponge or give them Tylenol and you go to sleep. And you are not going to lose sleep. But the first day you could not even, you are actually standing there, almost monitoring the temperature and the thermometer, whether it is going down. No, it is 74.75. It is going down. Thank you, Jesus. For almost 3 hours, you're monitoring the thermometer going down for your child. But when you have gone through it, when you encounter trials and tribulations, it kind of develops your spiritual muscles of faith. So that whenever there's going to come a time, you know, because of your trials and tribulations, do not neglect those trials and tribulations. They are good for you. Say, trials are good for me. Come on, say like you mean it, church. They are good because you know what they do? They develop your spiritual muscle. This develop your spiritual muscle. You know what? Oh, my child was sick. Oh, that's nothing. It is not more than what God delivered my husband from last year. You know, oh, that is not more. They wanted actually to kill me, but the bullet just passed by my ear. What is that? So you develop your spiritual muscles so that nothing will shake you. The way you develop your faith is through trials and suffering and tribulations. When you have prayed for something, but yet you're tossing throughout the bed, tell the Lord, Lord, you're building my spiritual muscles of faith. Nothing is going to conquer me. I'm going to go through this no matter what, because God, I look behind me and I see mountains of miraculous deliverances that you gave me. What is this compared to those? But if this is your first one, you've been preparing, you know, njia mukato, you're trying to avoid. Don't avoid them. They're good for you. When that truck has refused to start, you know, and you've gone there and you've tried and you've tried, spiritual muscles are being developed. When somebody called you a dog, you don't call them a dog back. Well, if that is your first trial that you're experiencing, I can understand. If you call them a dog and told me, you know, pastor, I'm just be honest. You know, confession is good for the soul. I call them a dog. I'll understand. I'll tell you, God forgive you. But you know, you come to a point when they call you a dog, you'll just laugh because what is that? That's nothing compared to the things that the Lord has delivered me. I will even bless this person who calls me a dog. I will even pray for them. I will even pray that God opens a door for them. You know, because where I've come from is too far. And I'm not going to let anything derail me from my focus. Amen? As I conclude, I told the church that met at James Move yesterday that each and every one of us has a spiritual GPS. I mean, no, a spiritual blueprint. And I've talked to you this before. You have a blueprint. God knows how many days you're going to live here on earth. You think God is surprised? Hiya. You think Auntie Sister Lay is going to live like up to 2090? God is not surprised by that. God is not shocked. He knows. He knows how many days you're going to live here on this earth. And that means, therefore, that he has a blueprint of how you're going to negotiate your corners and detour and go until you get to that last day. So, the thing is this. I was telling them that a blueprint is a virtual representation of anything. It could be a building. It could be maybe how our I-635. Before they built this 635, engineers came together and they put it on paper before they brought the big bulldozers on that freeway. They already had a virtual representation of how 635. In fact, if you go to the head engineer, he can tell you when this road is done, there are cars that are going to go underneath it. There are cars that are going to go over it. But by now, you can start seeing that it is taking shape. But before they started, you could not even imagine how that would end up being. That is how God has. He has your blueprint. And you know, he has also a spiritual GPS for each and every one of us. And all we say, God, may you lead me. And the Lord will be leading you along the paths of your blueprint. When you detour, it tells, oh, recalculating. And a brother said yesterday, take a legal U-turn. And you take a legal U-turn because sometimes we make mistakes and we detour. And God is telling you, make a right now. This is how I want you to go. The way may not look present before your eyes. Even the people that are around you may not even dictate that you're going to your destiny. But keep on marching on because God knows what he is doing. And you may not really understand what he is doing. He may tell you, take a left. And when you look at the front of you, there is a valley and you're just about to fall on it. Keep going because just before you sneak on that valley, he's going to take a quick left. Hallelujah. That is how God works in our lives. But let me tell you, if you don't pull up your spiritual antennas, we may miss the voice of God because there are so many voices in the world that we live today. So that, and it is so important for us to distinguish the unique voice of the Lord. Are you listening to me? Finally, brethren, I would like to read a verse that has blessed me this week and is in the book of Psalm 32. Hallelujah. Listen to this, Psalm 32, 6 to 9. This has been my verse this week. It really blessed me, and I said I have to read this to you so that I can bless you. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. You is God there. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. When we pray, the rising of the mighty waters will never reach you. Are you listening to me? When you connect with God, when God sees your faith and responds to that faith, he says the mighty rising waters will never consume you. You, and then this is what the psalmist says, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you. Jesus Christ, I love this. Listen to verse number 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Don't you love that? That when you pray, the rising mighty waters will not consume you. And just because you prayed, I will instruct you. That means there are things that you may really need to know and you may not really know them, right? So the Lord says that when you call upon me, I will not only hear, but I will instruct you because you may need some instructions in where you are going. You may need instructions in what you're just about to do. You may not really require to get there with your own flesh. God needs to instruct you. And he says that I will not only instruct you, but I will teach you in the way you should go. God Almighty. Teach you in the ways you should. In other words, God needs to teach you the way you need to build. God needs to teach you the way you need to raise that business. God needs to teach us how we need to raise our children. God needs to teach us how 5 years is going to be. Give us instructions on how it all come together. And listen to this. As if that is not enough, he says, I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do you know what that means? I will counsel. What is counseling? It is like you have a dysfunction. And the Lord is telling you, okay, you think you know, but this is the right way. You think in your knower, you think this is what you're doing is the right thing. But when a counselor comes, he tells you, not that which you're doing is right, but this is, whatever I'm telling you is what is right. He says, I will instruct you. And you know what he says? With my eyes on you, constantly, I'm not going to leave you. Okay, what happens when my eyes is on purity right now? Constantly. I'm not leaving here, right? No matter where you go, I'm on you. I'm on your case. I'm looking at you. That's what it means. That his eyes will constantly be on. Are you listening to me? His eyes will constantly be on you. That means he's not going to leave you. He's not the counselor who says, let us meet on Wednesday. He counsels you and leaves you to work on the counsel that he gave you. No, but he counsels you and he says, I am counseling you and I'm not leaving you. How good is that, man? He is not even paid by anybody, but he says, I am going to counsel you and stay with you to see to the fulfillment that this thing is done. Amen? Do not be like the horse or the mule, which has no understanding, but must be controlled by a bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. In other words, the Lord says this. He says, do not be like the camel. You know how you put a thing on the nose of a horse or a mule so that you for that mule to come towards you, you have to pull it. But says the Lord says, do not be like those. Because when you know what I can do for you, you will follow me. You will follow me. I'll be attracted to you. My attraction you know, my attraction that you will have for me will be like that griddle. When you know that the Lord is the one that holds your answer, you don't even need to, you know, you'll be going, you know, like Elisha and Elijah. You know, Lord, I'm not leaving you until you double bless me. And what happened to Elisha? He received a double portion because of following Elijah. Are you listening to me? Whenever we follow God constantly, he will never leave us. He will always have an answer for us. I need to be connected with the one that they call omniscient, all-knowing God. How do you like a counselor who is all-knowing? Just think about this. How do you like connected with a counselor? You know, hey, who is your counselor? Oh, the omniscient. You know, he's all-knowing. He doesn't need any instruction. He doesn't need to be instructed or to go to a library to study things that concerning the projects that you are doing. Right there and then, God, I need an answer in this. Okay, I know already know what you need. And he's right there with you. Are you listening to me, church? Stand up on your feet. In the name of Jesus, we'll continue next time. Hallelujah. We started by saying fear is a weapon, an arsenal that is in the arsenal of the devil. But finally, we have come and talked about faith. Faith is the iron dome defense mechanism the Lord has given you. And each one of us has an iron dome. It doesn't matter whether it is smaller in size or a bigger in size than somebody else. But as long as you can engage it, no weapon of the devil is going to defeat you. When they call you from Kenya telling you, oh, you know what, my dad is sick. I was talking to a sister yesterday, my friend, a friend of mine, and I know you don't know her, so she doesn't mind even me speaking this. And you know what? The enemy wanted really to torment her. They said that, you know, your dad is sick. And we prayed one time, and God healed that man. I've never even seen him, but we prayed for him, and God healed him. And so they took him to the hospital. He was having some pains in his body. And when he went there, they were really worried that maybe this thing that we had prayed for had come back. And I prayed with the sister and I told her, stand still and see the salvation of God. Your dad is not going anywhere. Your dad is going to leave. But I could see the enemy trying to torment my sister. Trying to tell her, oh, I don't know what to do. I am so distraught. But I told her, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The next time they were talking with his daddy, they were just laughing and rejoicing because his daddy had nothing else than just a simple fever. Amen? That is the God that we serve. Hallelujah. Sometimes the enemy will email you things, especially from a far distance. The other day they told me that my dad was bleeding from the nose. And I prayed and I said, you know what, let me tell you. I said, my dad is not going to die when I'm in the U.S. I'll have to see my dad before he dies and he has to give me his last word. And I stood and I went to some brothers. Thank God for, let me tell you, that's why it's good to come to church. Come and join with brothers. Because sometimes you cannot stand alone. Sometimes you think that you can fight it all alone. But you need each one of us. We need each other. Amen? And I was going to a fellowship when my mother called me in the middle of the night. And said, your dad is so sick. We are looking for a car to take him to the hospital. And at that point I had to decide, do I need to go to this fellowship or maybe I need to go home and stay on the phone just to comfort my mother? But I said, you know what? Where I'm going is where my answer is. And actually, I put my accelerator on. And I said, go there faster, reach there faster so that I can go and meet my brothers and sisters. And by the time I got there, even some of them were aware of what was going on. And the leader of the meeting said, let us join hands right now. Let us pray for that man. Let us pray. Prayed and prayed and prayed. Let me tell you. My dad is out of the hospital and he is not sick anymore. Why? Because people interceded. They called upon the name of the Lord. We engaged with the defense dome that we have. Amen? Amen. Fear is a weapon of the enemy. Lift up your right hand right now in the name of Jesus as we pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, if there be anybody here, Lord, you don't need me to even tell them to lift up their hands because you know them. That is being tormented by the spirit of fear. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I counteract that effect in the name of Jesus. I render it powerless in the name of Jesus. We engage the spiritual iron dome and release our faith against that spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. You devil, you better pack up right now. with all your demons and all your angelic beings and flee, because these are the children of God. You are not going to torment any one of them in the name of Jesus. Lord, I declare that we are engaging our faith right now in the name of Jesus, and we are mounting up our spiritual faith muscles and coming against any spirit of the devil. I count and render powerless any assaults of the devil, any missiles being thrown at us from the kingdom of the enemy. And I declare that, my Father, peace and unity and comfort will be our portion in the name of Jesus. Father God, I thank you for each and every one of us. Let the holy angels of God encamp round about each and every one of us. Let the blood of Jesus Christ surround us, and it help us to see things in a different perspective. Open up our eyes, like Elisha prayed for his servant Gehazi, to open up his eyes so that we can see the angels and the armies that are on our side, because indeed they are many and far much outnumber the ones that are on the other side against us. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. I pray that you shall protect each and every one of us. Protect our children even as they go to school this week. Protect each one of us even as we go to work. I declare that none of us shall be sick. I declare that none of us shall be deceived by the devil. I declare that none of us, Lord, even shall fall into the traps of the evil one. In the name of Jesus, Father, we bless you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Someone who loves him, shout a big amen. Amen. Can you give him a hand of praise this morning? Amen. May the Lord God bless you. I'm going to welcome Pastor Julius to come and continue the meeting. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. Was that a good word or what? Amen. God is so good. Do we have any visitors in the house today? Amen. Any other visitor? Oh, on the other side. Okay, so we'll start with there. Just stand up and tell us your name. That's it.